Hello out there to all of our podcast listeners. This is Annette.
This is Kelly.
This is Shankara.
And this is Titania, and welcome to the lounge.
Thank you for joining us today here in the Entrepreneurs Elevation Lounge, where we aspire to inspire other entrepreneurs.
Hello, everybody, and thanks for joining us this evening in the Entrepreneurs Elevation Lounge. I'm one of your co-hosts, Annette Gomez, and I've got my family members with me this evening, Shankara Jones McNair and Kelly Walker. Hey, everybody.
Hey.
Hey, how you doing? Hey.
Listen, today is very special. The late, great Congressman John Lewis said we've got to get in some good trouble. And my next guests have been doing just that, getting in some good trouble the last few years. Please welcome from the hit series, Critter Fixer, country vets, Dr. Terrence Ferguson and Dr. Bernard Hodges. Gentlemen, welcome this evening.
Hello, how you doing? Glad to be here.
Hey. So listen, guys, this month we've been talking about tooling it up, branding, marketing, and you've been walking billboards for the last couple of years. But it all starts with a dream. So let me brag on y'all for just a little bit. Those resumes were a little long, so I'm going to crunch it down. You guys correct me later off air. Both are proud graduates of the Fort Valley State University and Tuskegee University as well. I think you've done residencies at University of Georgia. You are authors, community activists, businessmen, and now television stars. I think our producer, Daryl, might have to do a part two in this, guys. But again, welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you. You make it sound like we are really a big deal, and I appreciate
you
it.
You are. Listen, and let me just warn our listeners, we're probably going to go off script with these two, so just bear with me, everybody. Now, listen, guys, it all starts with a dream, and I know that's where we're going to begin, because if you have a faith of a mustard seed, it will take you everywhere. So who could have imagined this, right? I mean, you guys were growing up in Middle Georgia, loving animals, staying true to your dream, not listening to the naysayers. I know Dr. Hodges, you're from Fort Valley. Dr. Ferguson, you're from Talbotton. Y'all got a traffic light or two in these cities. Y'all got a traffic light.
We have two traffic lights and a caution and a caution light. Don't forget that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And I make him explain it every time we interview, because I don't understand how you – I always say, well, if you only got two traffic lights, a caution light, how many police do you have?
So, Doc, you're growing – let's start with you first, Dr. Hodges. You were growing up. Tell me your story about that little dream that you had.
Well, I'm a country boy, so I always liked animals and different things, but I'm a fish guy. I grew up loving fish. My dad had a fish farm, introduced me to that earlier, so I really like fish. And I majored in fishery biology, and I had this childhood dream of being like the first black Jacques Cousteau. I thought that was going to be my thing.
Wow.
So a little fish in aquatic.
We're going to talk about your dad a little bit later in the show. Was it relaxing? Were you going out fishing with your dad?
Well, it was more koi. He was a big he grew up raising koi as a kid, and he kind of taught me that art. And so I loved aquaculture and growing fish and learning more about doing fishing. Again, like I said, majoring in fisheries biology, I was able to go do a fish project over in Nepal. So as a 19-year-old kid traveling, you know, a world away, 24 hours away, and setting up a fish farm as a cheap source of protein for a whole village and helping feed that village was something that, you know, I'll always look as probably one of my biggest accomplishments. So I'm a fish guy, but I love all animals.
That's amazing, because that's a really good point. We need to come back to that in the show, because Kelly and I talk a lot about making sure that students go away and experience something. So that's really interesting coming from Middle Georgia. That's amazing.
Thanks. Yeah. Right here in little old Middle Georgia, Fort Valley.
Yes. And Dr. Ferguson, I know we're going to touch on your story a little bit later, but talk about the animals if you can, before we talk about putting pen to paper. For you, I think it was the same thing, loving animals. Oh, but you're the dog.
For me, I grew up small town, we talked about, very small. I would say two traffic lights and a caution light. I think my high school graduation class was probably 60 students, maybe. But when I was 7 or 8 years old, my story is I remember we had a, you know, as most families, we had a dog, family dog, and he was hit by a car. And, you know, what do little kids do? You know, I tried to doctor this baby back. And at that time, I thought I did doctor back. You know, the dog got better. And that just lit a fire in me to want to become a veterinarian. And I remember explaining to my mom that, you know, I want to take care of animals when I grow up. And, of course, she told me it's called a veterinarian. And yeah. Most kids don't know what construction paper is, but I remember at that age, even at that age, she traced out the word veterinarian, cut it out, and she made me start arranging it in order so that I would know how to spell this large word. She's like, baby, if that's what you want to do, then you need to know what it is, and you need to at least know how to spell it. So that's my start, and that's what I've always wanted to be a veterinarian since I was 7 or 8 years old.
Awesome. You know, that's my favorite story in the whole world, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. But you both have mentioned your mentors, which, you know, for you all, it starts with your family. Dr. Hodges, you know, we all love Dr. Abe. Can we please talk about the influence that he had in your life? Because I think as business people, we all have to start somewhere, and you lean on people. And for you, I know it started with Dr. Abe.
Oh, without a doubt. You know, I was his constant shadow. He was the most amazing gentleman I've ever met. I mean, he was kind, and he knew everything. I mean, I know, you know, I mean, leaving looking now, like, even as a grown-up, you know, I would ask him, like, hey, man. And he just knew everything from plumbing. And I know it sounds like simple thing, like, hey, he's like, boy, don't worry about it. That's easy to fix. And he knew everything, but he just taught me to be independent. And be a thinker. That's the biggest thing I would say. He would guide me in the right direction. Even as a 8 or 9 year old kid, he guided me in a certain direction. Like, okay, and then he'd let me think about it. And then he never gave me the true answer. He would always, and he would say, man, sometimes there are different ways to tackle things, and sometimes there's not always a true defined answer for every problem. You know, you fix that problem in the way, best way you can. So the biggest thing he taught me was just to be a critical thinker.
Awesome. And I know Dr. Abe is no longer with us. I was at your desk,
right.
You know, Dr. Hodges.
Right.
And Abe, you talked about how he rode you. He didn't play any games.
Oh, he didn't play no games. I mean, he didn't. I mean, again, that's why I say he would never give me an answer. I'll never forget the day I walked across the veterinary stage, and I got my veterinary degree. So I got my degree. I'm all giddy. I walk across. Everybody hugged me. He said, so what you going to do now? I'm like, dude, can I, like, have, like, 5 minutes
breathe.
Of the doctor?
Breathe. He's like, nah. Breathe for a minute. Can I enjoy this moment?
Exactly. He's like, what you going to do now?
It's about education. And Dr. Ferguson, I know you indicated later about the construction paper, and that might seem little to people, but that was huge in your house because, correct me if I'm wrong, was your mom in education as well?
Correct, yeah. My mom was an educator, so she was always a stickler for, you know, education and making sure that her two boys tried to, you know, stay on top of the class and make sure educationally that we took care of our business, you know. And, you know, when I look at mentors in my life, of course, my parents, my mom started me at an early age. She's been a mentor my whole life. But I kind of break it down into two, like, direct and indirect mentors. And,
uh-huh.
And indirectly, I had a mentor. I had an aunt, and she passed when I went to Fort Valley State College at that time when I first went. But my aunt was a hard worker. She worked in the cafeteria at the high school. I would see her every day. I know she had a large family, and I just saw how much effort she put into everything. And it's funny, when she passed, she just became internalized in my thinking. It was like whatever I did, I don't care if I was on the field, football, I was in the classroom, I was always reflecting back on her, how hard she worked. And I said, well, if she was here, she would do it. I have to make her proud. Even though she had gone, I had to always make her proud. Even to this day, when there are different challenges I have, I always reflect on her hard work, and it drives me to be better or try to accomplish what I'm doing. So that's definitely an indirect person. Now, directly, mentor was probably Dr. Corker.
Yeah.
Dr. Corker was the first black veterinarian that I had ever seen. Now, this happened when I was a junior in undergrad at Fort Valley State University. So by now, I'm 18, 19 years old. I wanted to become a veterinarian since I was 7 or 8 years old. And the first example that I saw that looked like me was when I was almost 20 years old. So he encouraged me. Sometimes you can just say things or you can just have a presence. He had both. I saw him. It encouraged me because that was during a time when I was became a little discouraged, you know, by becoming a veterinarian because I had never seen one and I had no one to say, you know, you can do it as far as someone who had done it before. And he did all those things. You know, I met him. He told me that you can do it, son. And you just those small words meant so much to me. It let me know that if he did it, he told me I can do it. So I'm going to strive to continue to try to become this, you know, this dream that I've had since I was 7 or 8 years old. So those are the, you know, two or three people who have really, really, really been instrumental in encouraging me and motivating me in my life.
That's beautiful. And I know both of you came out of college full speed ahead. You went to work for Dr. Corker, actually, Dr. Hodges, both of you did for a short time, correct?
Yes, we did. Went there. And I mean, that education, and I was telling, you know, the beauty of Critter Fix is we've had quite a few. You know, I think it's almost 50 veterinarians who've come through and gone on to, you know, work for the hospital and gone on to be veterinarians. But I was telling somebody, this young lady who's a senior vet student, just last week, I was talking about, I mean, she's interning, and I was telling her the education we got with Dr. Corker was the best education we ever couldn't have gotten because people really take for granted some of those old school methods and things that you learn. And I told her that education doesn't exist today. And by that, I'm saying you got to soak it up because, you know, the small amount that we were able to absorb and retain, you know, here 25 years later that we learned from Dr. Corker, she better get it because it will, you know, it's not being taught anymore. I mean, he taught Terrence and I some stuff that is just not in the books. I mean, it's just, you know, because when he started practicing 50, 60 years ago, some of these new techniques and some of these things didn't exist. So he had to figure things out. And he taught us those things, and they still work today.
Correct. And it's about hands-on experience, because I'm one of those, I don't know if linear, non-linear thinking people, you can talk to me all day, but I have to do it. I've got to be hands-on. Was it difficult to leave him, Dr. Ferguson, and start your own business? How difficult was that?
Oh, no doubt. It was very difficult because you had to think you're with someone who basically taught you the ropes. You know, you don't want to leave them. You feel like if Dr. Corker was up in age at that point, of course you didn't want to leave him and leave him with a, you know, not being able to continue on. But, you know, you had two young men who had a dream. You know, this dream started, you know, at an early age. We both wanted to become veterinarians. But if you know Dr. Hodge and I, you would know that we wanted to be business owners as well. So that was our dream. That was the right time for us to do it. And, you know, Dr. Hodges always says, sometimes we just have to leap out on faith. We didn't have a lot of resources at that time, but we had each other.
Absolutely. And speaking of leaping in faith, you know, what do you say to young people that, you know, they feel a little stuck? Hey, I'm from a small town. I can't do it. I don't have any money. I can't afford to go to college. Both of you, please tell me, what do you say to those young people that are like, I can't do it. No, I'm not going to do it. We can't afford it.
I just tell them you have to find something because, you know, I'll ask a question, a couple questions. I say, what do you have now? I was like, are you wealthy? Do you have a house or do you have certain things? And the answer typically is no. I was like, well, what do you have to lose? I was like, so go for it. I said, if you don't achieve it, then, you know, you hadn't lost anything. And then my second thing, I typically ask them, you know, like, what do you want out of life? What is your goal? And typically they'll kind of tell us. And, you know, Dr. Ferguson and especially Dr. Ferguson, I mean, he's just been an amazing partner over the last 20 years. But, you know, we depend on each other. We trust each other. And I tell them to find somebody who has their back.
Absolutely.
And, yeah, definitely. And lastly, it doesn't matter where you are. If you're good at what you do, they will find you.
Absolutely. It sounds like you're talking about betting on yourself, Doc. And we're going to take a special break, and we're going to come on back because betting on yourself is key. I'll explain when we come back from the break. Stay with us, everybody.
Mm-hmm. Hello, this is Donetta D. Mooring. I want to share with you my new book, 21 Days to Improve Your Sleep Hygiene and Lose Weight. It's a great book that provides guidance, tips, and techniques on how you can become more mindful, gain energy, and become more productive to grow your business. I appreciate you purchasing my book on Amazon, or you can go to my website, Donetta D. Mooring, which is DonettaDMooring.com. Thank you for your support.
Locks Forever has invented an all-natural product, No More Tenderheads, that has been shown to provide relief during styling and manipulation of natural hair. Our formula focuses on the scalp, not the hair, and our clients, stylists, and moms all over the country love it. Check out our No More Tenderheads Facebook page for more information, reviews, and videos. You can also find us on YouTube at Locks Forever or give us a call at 540-446-5107.
Welcome back, everybody. If you're just joining us in the lounge, we're talking to Dr. Terrence Ferguson and Dr. Bernard Hodges, stars of the hit show Critter Fixer, Country Vet on Nat Geo. Welcome back, everybody. And, Doc, before we went to break, Dr. Hodges, you were talking about betting on yourself, which is actually the title of your first book. Before we went to break, we were talking about, you know, how important it is to love yourself, because we were talking about, you know, sometimes kids think they can't do it, but you are your own best asset. So, Doc, let's talk about your book for a second, then we'll get to Dr. Ferguson, who also put pen to paper this year. Dr. Hodges?
Yes. So, you know, I was over the years, I kept thinking about all the things we've done. I would jot things down, and because, honestly, Dr. Ferguson and I are typically in a classroom speaking to kids or in a college or some social organization speaking maybe once a week. I mean, before all the COVID stuff, but we were always speaking. And I would get all these kids who would be almost mesmerized, or people would ask me these questions. I started thinking, I'm just going to pin my life story, because they see Dr. Hodges now, but they don't see the kid who struggled, the kid who made some mistakes. You know, they you know, so I was like, let me just put my wins and losses on paper. And, you know, once I started working through everything, and it ultimately came down to, you know, my struggles, my wins, my losses, the things that I've been able to accomplish was, you know, it was with my village, for sure. Without my village, I couldn't accomplish. But at the end of the day, I had to believe in myself and bet on myself. You know, I mean, again, the person on this podcast with me, Dr. Ferguson, I could never probably have accomplished some of my dreams without him, and he knows that. So, but ultimately, life is about betting on yourself. You got to put yourself in position so that a person can believe in you and help uplift you.
Doc, you didn't hold any punches. You were very honest in that, and very raw.
Yeah, very honest.
Yeah. That's very key, because we look up to celebrities. We think they're untouchable. They don't make any mistakes. And I don't know if you want to dive into that, but you were very raw and very honest. Like, you know,
yeah.
You didn't come
For sure. I mean, my best friend was, he's in the illegal pharmaceutical business, and I used to hang out with him all the time. You know, I mean, he ended up getting locked up, and I had choices. You know, I mean, like, bro, I love you, but I got to make sure I run the straight and narrow. You know, also during that time, my academics slipped. I failed the ninth grade. You know, because I thought goofing off and doing certain things. So those were the typical things that the average black male, well, not average, but some black male, especially, you know, you look for a quick way out, or you look for things that, you know, that seems cool, you know. And that's the one thing Terrence and I, or Dr. Ferguson and I, talk about. You know, we hope, you know, to show people that being smart is cool. You know, that's one thing we try to do with Critter Fixer Country Vet, saying, hey, if you're smart, you know, it's cool. But again, I failed. I made some mistakes. I started dwelling off into some real estate type of stuff and some other side businesses that, you know, I became pretty good at. I was able to put it all together and I've done well with real estate, you know. And so I called my buddy when I'm almost finished. I'm maybe a month from publishing thing. I said, hey, bro, I am writing. I said, you got, because at the time, I mean, if you know him, he builds these amazing cars. And I'm sure he'll talk about all his side business. But at the time, I had asked him a couple times, hey, man, you know, what you think about real estate? Probably over the 20 years. He hadn't, you know, it wasn't really his interest, but I had gotten pretty good at it. So I said, look, man, two things going to happen. And that's what you can do when you got a brother. You can say, hey, this is what you're going to do. Because he know I got his best interest. I said, one, hey, man, I'm writing this book. I said, of course you're in it, but I'm telling my life story and I'm doing anything. And also talks about I'm good at real estate. I said, number two, you don't have a choice. I'm not asking. You're going to do real estate. He and his Dr. Ferguson fast, and he said, okay. But I was like, you don't have a choice. I was like, I'm good at this. I know this can help you. You're going to do it. And, you know, I'll let him talk about how he's been able to do that. But that's the beauty of it. It's all about taking a gift or some things you learn and passing along to different people so that they can learn and they can also flourish as well.
Absolutely. And this is something Kelly and I talk about all the time, Doc. It's about legacy, making choices. And when you come to that fork in the road, you make the right choice. Plus, who wants to deal with Dr. Abe? Who wants to deal with that?
Well, you're right. So, you are right.
Yeah, Dr. Ferguson, I love your childhood story. So please talk about you becoming an author and putting your childhood dreams on paper. I love this story.
Well, there was a young lady, and she was witty, and she was smart, intelligent, beautiful, connected. Now, and you can stop me at any time now. Because I'm talking about Annette.
You're talking about
I'm talking about you.
I know.
I'm talking about you. Yeah. So, like Dr. Hodges said, you know, most weeks or twice a week, we're at, you know, schools, whether they're elementary, middle, high school, colleges, in front of a business group. And we're always just talking about our business, our life. And a lot of times, Annette, you would be there with me as I'm in school talking to the kids and telling my story. And I can just remember you like, Doc, you have to tell this story. You have to tell this story. So I'm like, yeah, whatever. You know, that's really not me. And so you just continue to say, Doc, you have to tell this story. So one day I'm like, okay, let's do it. And I really just said that so I can keep you quiet, but you was persistent and you continue. But my story is it's just a little small young man in a small town, very small town. I mean, most people probably couldn't relate to the size of my town. And I've always wanted to be a veterinarian. And my mom, being an educator, was very instrumental in, you know, pushing me and telling me that you can do it. But I didn't have that example. You know, most kids want to be, they may want to be a policeman. They see policemen that look like them. They may want to be a teacher. They see teachers that look like them. So there's always motivation and encouragement there for them. But I wanted to become a veterinarian, and I've never seen one that looked like me. We know that the veterinary profession, there's probably, what, Hodges, on 2%, less than 2% minority veterinarians.
Yeah.
It's actually the whitest profession. So there's not a lot of diversity there. But I still had that dream, you know, of course, that 9, 10, 11, 12 years old, I'm not really thinking about diversity, but I do need that example because there are a lot of examples that I saw that I didn't need, but I needed something that could encourage me. So my family, of course, they did as much as they could, but my mom's not a veterinarian. My dad's not a veterinarian. And I attended Fort Valley State University, and I majored in veterinary science. And there was an instructor there who, he was not a veterinarian, but he was a PhD, and he taught a class, microbiology. And we became friends. He's still at the university now, Dr. McLaughlin. He knew of Dr. Corker, And he told me one day, I'm going to take you to Dr. Corker. Just see if you can go over. Maybe he'll let you come over and kind of shadow some. And that's where it started. That's when he took me to Dr. Corker's office in Warner Robins, Georgia. And that's when I first saw a black veterinarian with my own eyes. I think I'm older now. I'm 18 or so, 19. And I was almost starstruck because I've never seen that, you know. Now, this was in a time before social media and you could just look things up. So, you know, I'd never seen that. And when I did see him, just right away, just the vision was an encouragement. Before he even said, hello, how are you? I'm Dr. Corker. Just the vision was encouraging. And at that time, I was like, you know what? I think I can do this. And he, you know, like Dr. Hodge, we talked about training. We talked about, you know, him being our mentor. And from there, you know, became a veterinarian. But and then just turning back, you know, Annette, you were very instrumental in me. The book probably would not have, no, let me not say probably. It would not have happened had it not been for you pushing and encouraging me to write this thing. And, you know, you did your wonder and putting words on paper. But what I did, you know, tell you that the only way I would do it, it had to be a children's book. Because I wanted to, you know, inspire other kids like me. And it didn't have to be wanting to become a veterinarian. That same thing can be someone who wants to be an engineer. You still sometimes need to see someone that looks like you to encourage you. You know, everyone's, you know, minds are different. I was the one. I needed someone that looked like me. You know, some they can go through this process and not even be concerned about it. But I think the book, and I wanted the book to be inspiring to other young men or women who there's something that they want to do, they haven't seen it, it looked like them, but they can still be encouraged to become it.
Absolutely, and that means I get the 80-20% split, right, Doc? You heard Dr. Hodges. I get all of this, right?
Of course. But I wouldn't have it any other way.
I honestly, Doc, it wasn't so much about me. It was about a little girl, Kenya, sitting in one of those classrooms whose eyes, talk about starstruck, eyes got so big because it looked like that on her face. Hey, I can do this too, and that's what really stuck. Aside from your mom in the cardboard construction cutout. But I think we're going to take one more break, everybody. We're going to come back, and we're going to talk about how you went to the national stage after the break. Stay with us.
When you leave your business, do you leave the door unlocked? When facing legal matters in the business world, do not leave your business unprotected. There is help when it comes to business contracting, even collecting past due receivables from clients. An experienced attorney is critical to resolving disputes. Don't do it alone.
At SJS Law Firm, their mission is to partner with clients to help them achieve the business of their dreams and plans with timely and strategic legal advice. Their legal counselors and advisors committed, providing individualized service that is tailored to the unique needs of your business. SJS Law Firm provides the legal support you need to move forward with confidence. Secure the knowledge that you have a legal team watching out for your best interests. Don't leave the door open. Call SJS Law Firm, serving small business owners, entrepreneurs, and nonprofits. Call 202-505-5309. That's 202-505-5309. Or find them at the sjslawfirm.com.
Welcome to the new Entrepreneurs Elevation Lounge podcast series, where four unbossed boss diva entrepreneurs aspire to inspire new and budding entrepreneurs. All are welcome here at the lounge, where we will always have a positive and encouraging word to share. So grab your beverage of choice, your notebook, and turn your radio or laptop up and get ready to join Annette, Kelly, Shankara, and Titania on Wednesday evenings at 7:30 p.m. This is a new series with a mission to help entrepreneurs discover their truth. See you there in the lounge at 7:30 p.m. on Hump Day Wednesdays. We'll see you then.
Welcome back, everybody. We are in the lounge this evening, and we've had the pleasure of talking to Dr. Terrence Ferguson and Dr. Bernard Hodges of the hit show Critter Fixer Country Vets. And before we went to break, everybody, we were talking about their book, Bet on Yourself, and Dr. Ferguson's C is for Critter Fixer. But you guys went beyond that. Now the national stage comes calling. It's Nat Geo. And Doc, I heard, Doc, that Dr. Hodges, you got a message. And you do what everybody does, hit spam, delete, ignore. These people are crazy, and you're calling Ferguson. Something's going on. I'm not paying attention to that. Is that true?
So all of us get crazy spam or something.
Yeah.
So we like, all right, whatever. And I'm sure my good buddy's spam is probably really filled because one thing I've learned through this process is my good buddy wasn't doing much as far as social media. I remember the first time we went live, but that's a whole nother story. We had to do that for the network. But so they hit me up. I was like, so they spammed and I ignored it. And the guy kept being persistent. And I was, you know, I finally talked to him. I talked to him a couple times before I even brought it to Dr. Ferguson. Because I want to, you know, just make sure I wasn't calling him about some nonsense. I already called him about enough of my own nonsense. So I didn't want to just bring him something. And I finally called him. And I said, hey, bro, hey, man, you want to be on TV? And he was like, what'd you say, T?
Well, you guys have to know Dr. Hodges. So he brings a lot of ideas. So this was just another one of his things that I thought, you know, just like, yeah, T, he called, yeah, T, you know, you want to be on television? So, you know, I'm like, be on television, you know, there's a lot of different ways to be on television. You know, it could be like, yes, there's a tall black guy last seen in Byron, Georgia. Now, is that how I'm going to be on television? Most wanted? That's not how we're going to do it. So, but seriously, though, when he called and he said that, I was like, yeah, whatever, because that's the answer I always give him. Yeah, whatever. And I know if there's something, he's going to work it out, because like you said, we have trust in each other. So I didn't have to elaborate on it. I'm just like, yeah, whatever. More than likely, I'll never hear from it again. You know, it'll all be good. But I tossed it back to him, and, you know, not long after that, he called back and was like, you remember I called you about, you know, being on television? Yeah. We need to do a Skype. I think, no, we did a phone interview first, I think. So he said to come over to the office, we need to do a phone interview. So it kind of went from there, but I let him go through the process after he was, in, you know, I knew he was for real, and the process kind of went from there.
Well, I think that the show is hilarious. Listen, we're going to bring on the panel another Wildcat. Kelly J. Walker is in the house, and Kel called me one day. She's looking at this show. It's hilarious. So, Kel, come on. You get to ask your questions. Come on in.
Well, listen,
Kel, with a lot of life lessons. That's why we love the show, but I'm going to let you take it away. I'm going to be quiet.
Oh, my goodness. Hey, you guys, this has been an awesome interview. Like, I'm just over here listening like, I want to hear some more.
I told you, off script.
Oh, wow. The show, you know, like Ann said, the show is hilarious. Like, you guys really play very well off of each other, and it seems so natural. And there are a lot of life lessons, and you can tell the relationship. Like, you know, in the interview earlier, you talked about being together for 20 years, and all. You can tell the relationship, the deep relationship that you guys had. And Dr. Hodges, you had your mini-me on the last season. That was really cool. So just tell us, how has it been to try to maintain a sense of balance? Like, you have a lot going on. How do you maintain your balance, Dr. Hodges?
Yes. I mean, you know, honestly, it's just what's instilled inside of you. I mean, all of us have dreams, and of course, I like nice things and do different things and go different places. But to be honest, it's all about being grounded and caring about the people around you first. I mean, that's never changed. Whether it's staff, whether it's friends, whether it's family. I think that's the thing that keeps you grounded, because at the end of the day, you know, even though, you know, we may get, you know, we laugh and joke about maybe we get a email or message from somebody in South Africa or Sweden or Botswana, but the big thing is the most important people are the people who are in our circle here in Middle Georgia and right here who've been here with, because ultimately that's who we want to make proud, and that's who we care, you know, really, and we know that's who really loves us. And then everything else is just a gift. So that's kind of how I stay about it. I just go, try to make everybody around me proud. And, you know, that's just the way I handle things.
I love that. Just keeping yourself grounded, keeping your feet on the ground, and knowing who's important in your life, your circle, right? What about you, Dr. Ferguson?
You know, for me, it's not hard. You know, you have to remember, I'm from that very small town with two traffic lights and a caution light. And to a guy who's now in front of millions of people. So I have to stay grounded. because my goal, and Dr. Hodges mentioned, man, our mission is to be an encouragement for others. And I think a lot of it, man, we keep our head to the ground so much that we don't really have time to even think about that stuff. You know, we're always trying to help others. We're trying to mentor. We're trying to be wherever we need to be for others. And it just, you know, I have to be a good example of my family, for my my kids, and as well as others. So I don't know how I can't be grounded. I don't know how I can't, you know, be all about me. It's really all about the community. It's all about others and what example we can set for others to try to be successes as well, and try to help them to become successful.
Absolutely. I love that. Like, that speaks so much to your character, because everyone doesn't think that way. Even people who maybe, you know, come from smaller towns, or it doesn't matter. Everyone doesn't think that way. So that speaks a lot to your character, to both of your characters. So, man, I love that. I love that. So listen, you know, going back to the show, I understand that in this upcoming season, you have a little bit more creative control, and you stated in interviews how important it is for you to put Fort Valley State University on the map. So how did that discussion come about? Because it's important to have a seat at the table, and you definitely pulled up to the table.
Yeah. I think for Dr. Hodge and I, we want to be sure that we're portrayed in a certain light. And what I mean by that is we are two professional black individuals, but we're in a white profession. So we want to be portrayed as being two smart, intellectual young men who care about their clients, care about their patients, love their community. So we wanted to have a part of that. We want to be sure that we weren't portrayed in a different light that, you know, can't be inspirational to others. Because the ultimate thing is our platform is we try to use it for the betterment of us, our people, our community. Like, we love Fort Valley, and I'll let Dr. Hodges speak a little bit more about the Fort Valley part. And you know, Tuskegee, we love our schools, and we try to promote them as much as we can, because we know there are others just like us that are following in our footsteps, maybe not our profession, but who are attending, you know, HBCUs, or some who feel like that they may not have all the resources or whatever they need to be successful. So we want to be, basically, we want to be a living testimony, and we want that to portray through our show and with the network.
A living testimony. I love that. I love that. And I love your sense of community. And you talk about community and how important it is to you, and it's evident in the work that both of you guys do. So let's talk about your community activism. You can't come out of the Fort Valley State University and not feel a sense of connection. And we've been tracking you guys for years. Like, each of you, I mean, just reflect on a little bit of what you've done. Dr. Hodges, you have your It Takes a Village organization. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Sure. It's, you know, I mean, economics is everything. I mean, unfortunately, I mean, education is the key, and all of us have been taught that education will get you a great job, and it will. You know, formal education will, but if you learn some business education or just that side hustle, that's how you can get rich. So, you know, I started my It Takes a Village Foundation to teach some business skills to kids, to not only help educate them, but also just show them that, you know, economics plays a key. You know, we also go out and do other things, but my focus is teaching people how to take care of themselves. Instead of giving them a fish, teach them how to fish.
Mm. Absolutely. I love that. And Dr. Ferguson, I know you have your youth sports camp, right?
Right, right. And it's this organization. Basically, my life is kind of sports-oriented, I guess I can say. I attended Fort Valley State College at that time on a football scholarship and, you know, helped pay for my education. And one of the things growing up that I always heard, it wasn't necessarily directed at me, but I always heard, you know, like, dumb jocks or athletes, you know, they aren't smart, they just chase a ball. So it has been my life mission to try to change that. So one thing that I did, I was a founding member of a youth organization in our area called Peach County Youth Organization. And what we did is we provided academic support, mentoring, and athletics. So we knew that we could get kids out for athletics. So that was our drawing card. But we also provided academic tutorial for the kids. They had, it was mandatory to do that before they can go to the field. And we had mentors to come over, you know, us as well as we were close to Fort Valley State University. So we had those young ladies and young men to come over and do mentoring, to do academic support. And I try to instill academics in them as much as I can. And I think, well, I don't think, I know we've been successful. Just this past year, we had 12 seniors that was in our organization that received football scholarship to D1 schools. Now, the important part is not that they received a scholarship from the D1 school, but the most important thing is they were academically eligible to be able to receive them. We've had, yeah, you know, kids come through and they can receive these scholarships, but they don't make the test scores. So, and I know that myself and others, we had a big hand in that, and they were able to receive those scholarships because they had the test scores, they had the GPA. You know, we do college tours once a year at these universities, so it wasn't so big that they were afraid of these things. So just trying to do my part to let people know that, you know, athletes can be intelligent as well. And so that's why we started these organizations.
I love it. You know what? It's one thing to be successful as an entrepreneur. And it's one thing to be on the national stage, you know, on television and all of that. But giving back, that's what tells the story about who you are as individuals, is you pay it forward. You give back to your community. You pour into others like others have poured into you. And isn't that really the name of the game? Like, that's what it's all about.
Oh, no doubt.
For sure. That's what leads to hopefully a happy ending in life, and to be able to look back one day and say, you know, job well done.
I know that's right. I know. So we're going to wrap up, but I really want to hear, and I've been listening, you know, to all of your stories and people who have influenced you and where you are today and how you're giving back. And amazing to me. And we're so, Annette and I are so very proud of you. And I know all of Fort Valley, and I know everyone who knows you are so very proud of you. But I want to hear from you guys, from each one of you. And Dr. Hodges, you can start. If, you know, and this is a question that sometimes makes people really, really think. If one day the curtains are closed and, you know, your time here is done, what is it that you want people to remember about you? What do you want to leave as your legacy? Dr. Hodges?
Honestly, mine is pretty simple. I mean, again, it goes back to our humble beginnings. Mine really is, I did a lot of good. I always put out good energy, and I lived life to the fullest. And that's the beauty of the beauty, you know. I mean, that's the beauty of it. Terrence, and again, Terrence knows because he watches me, and he allows me to be me. So to me is I live life to the fullest, and that's not just for me. So that would be the way I would sum myself up, to be honest. Mm-hmm. I know it sounds cool, but I mean, I live every day to the fullest. Or it is, I mean, and that's doing things for people around me. That's having fun. That's just living life. That's the thing. You know, people would say, hopefully, man, this guy didn't leave anything on the table.
There you go. Don't leave nothing on the table. Don't sure. leave any potential here.
Nothing.
I know that's right. How about you, Dr. Ferguson?
I think my legacy would be is he always gave all of himself to the cause. And I always say, you know, I try to treat people fair. I try to treat people sometimes even unfair. Sometimes I even, you know, take a little of the other side to be, you know, supportive of others sometimes. That's just my nature. You know, that's who I am. But I always say, you know, I want to do the best I can because I don't know how long I'm going to be on this earth. You know, my kids, hopefully, they'll be here when I'm gone. And I want people to treat them right. So I always make sure I treat people and I always think about my kids. Now, if I'm not here and I'm gone, are these people, are they going, have I treated them well enough that they're going to treat my kids well? So that's why I make sure that I, you know, I treat everybody fair. I always give of myself. That's probably what would be written on my tombstone. He always gave of himself, no matter what.
That is beautiful.
And that's funny. That I think that's why Dr. Hodges and I, we are so connected, because we both do that. You know, it's not like you'd be amazed how often people come in the clinic and they either want to mentor, they either want to shadow, or they may, sometimes it's monetary. They need something for this or something for that. And, you know, Dr. Hodges and I are always talking, and we always do. You know, it's not like I have to call him and like, man, you know, they want a donation for this. No, he doesn't have to call me. I don't call him. We just do it because we know it's in both of our nature. That's just who we are, and that's why we are so connected. You know, he always say it. We always say it. We've been friends for probably 30 years. We've been in business 20-plus years together, and we never had an argument because that's how much respect I have for him, he has for me. And I know if he makes a decision, it's going to be in our best interest, and I make a decision, it's going to be in our best interest as well. So he and I, you know, we really think alike, we really do alike, and we love people and we love our community, and we give of ourselves.
And if I could just jump in here, Kelly, if that ain't a marriage made in heaven, I don't know what is. Listen, guys, we got people texting and blowing up our phones. How do we get in touch with you guys? Because I've been there when people, I went in there to drop off a dog and stay for 4 years volunteering. How do we get in touch with you guys?
Well, I mean, you know, obviously you can, you know, social media, you can reach me at Dr. Hodges at Critter Fix a Vet on IG, and Dr. Ferguson.
Yep, Dr. Ferguson, what is it? Dr. Ferguson _ Critter Fix a Vet, and that's on Instagram. You go to Critter Fix a Veterinary Hospital Facebook page, and you can always come to Byron and Bon Air and pay us a personal visit. And hopefully when this COVID is gone, we can give you a hug. So that's one of our things.
And one beautiful thing now that we've had to do is we do have a hospital administrator now who you can always email her at corlise@gmail.com, and she pretty much handles all our requests.
Thank you for taking the time out this evening. I know you're so super busy. Thank you so much.
Yeah, we appreciate you guys for allowing us to be in the lounge this evening. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. And that's going to do it for us this evening, everybody. Have a terrific evening. Keep tuning in. August is a hot month, hot topic. Talk to you later.
Now let's get out there, y'all, and elevate, 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 elevate.